Lord, just thank you so much for Brother Andrew and the Whalen family. God, just thank you for the gift that they are to the body of Christ. Thank you for what you've put in them for a generation. And Lord, we just say, all you want to do tonight, we're open to it, Lord. Anoint your servant with power. Anoint your servant with clarity. Lord, speak through our brother to us tonight, Lord, as the word of the Lord, or as the mouth of the Lord. Let it be to us. God, bless the sharing and hearing of the word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Yes, but you could have it if you want. Okay. Man, Derek, thank you so much for having me again. It's awesome to be here, and I always look forward to coming over here. Feels like the upper room. It is the upper room. And sweet memories of the garage days. And I kept thinking, I was like, you know, I wonder if someday the Lord will have the house of prayer in a different location. You guys are probably praying, like, you know, state-of-the-art facility, but I keep feeling like God's like, no, this is like really sentimental to him, so he's just going to like hang out here for a while. I feel like this is like a sweet place for him. But I just kind of wanted to ask you guys I'm going to get a little interaction with you at first, and just wanted to ask, me coming from Bloomington, you know, God speaks to me about different things going on in there, specifically for the area, but also for the church. And sometimes I get some words for Peoria, but I kind of want to hear from you guys, those of you that are a little more centrally located here in Peoria. What are some things, and I want you just to maybe shout out what you know or what you've heard. Either maybe you've heard a preacher say it. Maybe you've heard somebody prophesy it. Maybe you've had a dream, or maybe it's something that the house of prayer has been carrying, a prophetic word of some sort. So I don't know where Derek went, but if he's around. Oh, there you are. So if I just want to hear from you guys, what has God been saying? Number one, about what are the things that God has in store for Peoria? What has he been saying to you? Where are we at on the calendar? Where is Peoria at right now? What is God saying? What has he been putting on your heart? Maybe there's been something that's been on the heart of the Lord for a long time for this city. But what specifically have you been hearing? What have you seen? Maybe it's specifically for the house of prayer. What do you see for the house of prayer? But also, what do you see for the region? What do you see for Peoria and Central Illinois? We'll just dialogue for a minute. I just kind of want to hear. It could be as simple as, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to pour out. You know, whatever. I just want to hear. So, you got something, shout it out.
I keep on getting, especially for the Peoria area, that's the harvest is ready. It's ripe. Wow. And it's ready for the workers to go out. And I got this multiple times about the week. Even God manifesting it in the natural for me in a way. And there's more to it, I guess. But
the harvest is ready. Awesome. It's ripe. God's got harvest in the store for Peoria. I love it. Anybody else got anything? I know some of you probably have a lot of things, but I just, anything that's coming to your heart right now.
A lot of what I've been getting is unity in the body. There's so many churches, there's so many organizations on the campus of Bradley, and I've been seeing the connection, the sense of communication, events going on together.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that's good. So he said unity, if you didn't hear that.
And we're going to need that for the harvest.
For the harvest. Amen. Yeah. What does the Bible say? Where the brothers dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. And I just remember, just to go along with that, I remember I don't remember when it was, but I remember when a lot of the churches and the leaders around the area, even Morton, Peoria, probably surrounding areas, I don't know how many it was. Maybe Nancy, you might know, or others, but you guys did like a 40-day prayer and fasting transformation. I'm thinking, man, I really feel that the Lord did something, and it's still, there's still some things that were sown that we haven't seen brought forth even from that time. But who else? Anybody else got anything? Amen. 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 So you feel, if you didn't hear her, she felt like the Lord has been saying that, man, the people are so hopeless. We need the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel, the hope of eternal life. Amen. Anybody else? Got anything? I know Nancy's got something. I was just kind of pausing, you know. Wow. Amen. 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 So Nancy said that she felt, last time I was here, or a couple times ago, during... at the prayer summit, I shared a dream that God had given me, and I can't remember when I had the dream, but essentially, and she really felt that the intercession was going to start to birth the strategies to see the kingdom come. And
because you said in the dream, you knew that you all, you know, that you can go forward and believe the word, and that
Okay, so she actually, let me just say the dream again. Is that okay to shoot that out? Maybe you have heard it, maybe you haven't, but I think it's important to hear it again. Because when something like this will cross my radar, it really doesn't mean anything to me, or it didn't mean anything to me much at the time, because God's saying something before we ever even understand where he's at or where he's going. Most of the times he's saying something and it gives us time to catch up with what he's saying. I had a dream. In the dream, I saw Peoria, Illinois. And in the dream, I found myself in a cloud over the main bridge. I don't know what you call that bridge. It's gray now. It used to be the red one. What is that bridge called?
Murray Baker.
So in the dream, I was in a cloud in Murray Baker, or above that bridge, and it was a big cloud, and it like covered not just the bridge, but it covered the city. And I was in the cloud with Lou Engel, Dutch Sheets, a man named Will Ford, and a man named Damon Thompson. And I had another dream where I basically said Lou Engel represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Dutch Sheets represented Reformation. Damon Thompson represented the voice of awakening. And Will Ford represented reconciliation. And I was just there to take notes. But I knew in the dream that there was a meeting. It was the purpose of the meeting was to gain strategy for the nation. What the dream had to do with was really seeing Peoria as a river system, as a riverway, as a launch point, as a sending out point, as a starting point. If it plays in Peoria, you know, if it plays here, meaning God wants to begin to do a prototype in Peoria, send it forth through the nation. That has to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, awakening, reformation, reconciliation, black-white reconciliation, especially in the church. Amen? If I get a little loud on this, I'll just, you know. The funny thing is, you said that dream, and I pray into it, and then I'll forget it for a while. And just 2 weeks ago, I was in Colorado, and I was walking out the door somewhere, and Lou Engle actually, and another guy said, "Hey, we'll have to come to Bloomington." And I said, "Yeah, and you'll have to come to Peoria too." And they're like, "Oh, that's right, the dream of the cloud over Peoria." And I'm thinking, well, I forgot about that, but you remembered it. That's really awesome. I'm like, so I just believe, I want to keep praying into this. It's not just to have, it's not about names or people necessarily. It's about who they are in the Spirit, what they're carrying, what they represent. And it's about a divine timing. God's saying there's something that's going to be loosed in this region. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. So she said, if you didn't hear, she was saying the response, that we have a responsibility to respond to that word, to that dream, really to begin to carry that in intercession, because God really does want to do something here for the nation. We got to believe that. Amen. You know, what's interesting is this is years ago. I have to say this because you're like, "Well, who are you from Bloomington to come into Peoria?" I'm like, "Well, I just have to tell you a prophetic word that I was given." I was at a Jesus Culture conference back in like 2009. And a guy I'd never met before. In fact, it was in Valparaiso, Indiana, is where we were. And a guy I'd never met before came up to me. He didn't know. I don't think he knew me. And no one knew me. And no one still knows me. But I'm just saying, like, I was in Valparaiso, and this dude comes up to me and says, "Lord says he said some other things, but one of the things he said is, you are going to have a voice for Peoria, Illinois." I didn't know who he was. I come to find out he was one of the prophet guys in Peoria. I can't remember his name now. I just knew he was a part of maybe Riverside back in the day. I think he's down in Kansas City now. Anyway. The reason I say that is because I find it so interesting as time goes on. That word never made sense to me. I'm like, "Dude, you got it off, man. I'm all about Bloomington. Peoria, no. I'm not over in Peoria." Anyway, I think it's kind of cool when God lines things up. So I have to, the reason I share that is because I have to actually believe now that God, you actually put something in me that's specific for Peoria. It's not just because I have something great to say. It's because you put something in me and you prophesied it years ago so that I know when I'm here that I'm not to take it lightly. That there's a word that you have that's going to come forth that Peoria has to be responsible to. Amen? Because I want to just say, now is the time, Peoria. Now is the time. There is coming a breaking of a delay over Peoria, Illinois, in Jesus' name. I'm just prophesying that. Up or down? Oh, down. Sorry. Sorry, that was too loud. Here's what the Lord put on my heart this week. And it all goes together. And if somebody else had something burning on their heart to say what they felt about Peoria, throw it out. Derek, what do you got? Now, maybe it's not just Peoria. Maybe it's for the house of prayer. What's the Lord said?
"I just
like your
message."
What's that?
"I just like your message."
Oh. 24/7. I'm going to talk about that tonight.
That's going to bring a breaking through of salvation.
Come on.
It's going to activate a church planting movement.
Wow.
That as people get sent out of here, it'll release unity wherever they go.
Wow.
So it's a unity in Peoria, but it's a contagious virus type authority that what gets sent out of here will bring unity to wherever it goes.
Amen, bro.
So
wow.
Woo!
Come on, man.
You're seeing that with Samaritan Ministries, we have 70,000 households that are for Presbyterian, Baptist, non-denominational, charismatic, Catholic, Lutheran.
Wow.
It's already there. The seed of God is already planted in Peoria.
Amen.
It's already growing, but the Lord's going to bring it into a maturity.
Come on.
It's going to blow our minds.
Wow. Woo! Amen. Prophesy that. Come on. You know, Peoria, I found this out, but one of its believed original name meanings, has to do with to dream with the omnipresent one. That means we have to start to dream with him. And that sounds like a dream from God right there. That sounds like something that's on God's heart. And we got to begin to go there in our faith, and believing that this is what God wants to do. I used to love this song. It was called... You ever remember Todd Gavinowski from IHOP back in the day? You remember him? He had this one. Did I say his name right? Because I don't know. I don't know. Yes. You remember him, Sue? Well, I'm not singing the song. I don't know. All I know is the name of the song. Well, there was one of my favorites is some trust in chariots. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. There was another one that said, "It was the breathe prophesy. You know it. Thanks for saying that, man. Dude, breathe prophesy, man. That one, I have had that, not even the song. I don't even know the song. I've had the phrase of that song on my heart all week long. I feel like God's saying, Peoria, breathe and prophesy. Breathe and prophesy. Breathe and prophesy. Bones need to rattle and come together. And they're not going to come together apart from the word being spoken and prophesied out of the church. Amen? All right, so I wanted to talk about the word of the Lord. The actual idea of the word of the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That Greek word, the Greek for the word in that verse is logos. And I'm not going to get into a deep Greek talk because I'll lose myself in the process. But I'll just go basic. I'll go elementary on this, that really it has to do with more of the written word, but really, even more than that, the actual meaning of logos has to do with the sum. And it has to do with the account of God. Does that make sense? In fact, Psalm 119 says, the sum of thy word is the truth. The sum of it. People like to build truth on one part of Scripture, and God's saying, no, you are... If you do that without taking in mind the sum, you're going to somewhere give it a... You're going to twist the scripture so bad you're going to give it a hernia. It's going to just... Rah. So you have to keep in mind that the sum of the word is the truth. Can I ask, who is the truth? The sum of the word is the revelation of Jesus. Amen? The logos is all about... Why is the logos God? Well, that's confusing, isn't it? Wait, written word, an account, that's God. What? It's the revelation of who he is. It's one and the same. The revelation of him. See, you can read the Bible and never encounter Jesus. That's not to take away from the Bible, but it's to say, if the Bible isn't unto the revelation of Jesus, well, you missed the point. There's going to be many people who have read the Bible and they end up in hell. Amen? Because they never were confronted with the revelation of Jesus to see that their awful need of a Savior and to receive him through the responsibility of faith. Does that make sense? So, I think I'm going somewhere with this. I love the Bible, amen? Can I just say, we would be lost without the Bible, without the Word of God, without the Logos. But I do want to say this, the Logos is the Logos. The Logos is God, not because it's God on a piece of paper, it's revelation. Make sense? Too many people are worshiping the book on paper. This is not the point. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have life, but you fail to realize these things testify of me, and you fail to come and see me. Amen? That's what religion will do, is keep you confined to a document and never bring you into the revelation of the author. That makes sense? Okay. So that's not a slam on the Bible. That's a slam on religion. And a slam on phony. I'll tell you this. I had a grandpa. He wasn't really my grandpa because he actually was from the original Hatfield and McCoy family. He had some major issues. Major generational stuff going on. He used to boast about how he had read the Bible front to back 8 times. I'm like, dude, that, in my perception of this man, it did very little for him. Does that take away from the Bible? No, it means that it's possible to read it and not gain the revelation that's needed because possibly your heart is unable to receive it. Amen? Not because the word's not powerful. It's just that the Bible in and of itself isn't going to save anybody. Come on. The Bible can't save you. The Bible cannot save you. Jesus saves. Amen? And the world doesn't need. No, the world doesn't need the Bible. But they need the Bible because it's the revelation of Jesus. Okay, I'm beating a horse to the death. All right, the Rhema. You know, the Bible says man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that word for every word is the Rhema. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God, of Christ. Rhema is the Greek word for word, and it means, it's another translation of word, and it's used many times in Scripture. And here's what I found, is that it is, a lot of people would say it's a spoken word, and I want to say it's not just the spoken word. It is in connection to fulfilled prophecy. So in order for the fulfillment of prophecy, it requires the Rhema word. The Logos gave an account of God. I'm trying to put it in like easy terms. It's kind of a complicated thing, but it's not. The Bible is like the Logos, amen? We understand that it's an account of who God is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And yet the Rhema comes in the midst of even the Logos, And its connotation, it's precisely pointed for the purpose of fulfillment of prophecy. So, say it this way. It's in connection to the fulfillment of prophecy. It's precise, power heavy. It's active. It's a command. It's precise. It's power heavy. It's active. It's a command. It is in connection to fulfilling prophecy. Okay. You good for a minute? All right. Here's what I felt the Lord, as I started to pray into this, I'm like, God, we gotta get this. Both Logos and Rhema are the Word of God, and both have their essence in Christ. Okay? Now, the Logos is God. The Logos is the account of God. Any Rhema that contradicts the Logos, well, we can recognize that that is not a part of God's account. Make sense? So, the Logos helps us understand the sum of the record, of who God is, of what his ways are, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when a precise, power-heavy, active command comes, and we don't find it when we read it specifically in the Scripture, how do we know if this thing needs to be acted upon or not? How do we know if this is of the Lord or not? And I just want to say it's carrying within it the same purpose that the Logos has, and it is ultimately the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? The nature of all things prophetic, get this, the nature of all things prophetic is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I thought, some people get real confused about prophecy because they're like, well, wait a second, if it's not specifically in the Scriptures, how can that be safe? I'm like, well, really, once you get the Scriptures down, there is a whole lot of boundary and framework that you will be able to check and balance prophetic rhema with. Does that make sense? Because it is dangerous to not have the account of God and to frame. I believe the account of God. When I say the account of God, I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Logos. The account of God is a good frame for the rhema to work in. Is this helping? And maybe you guys are like, yeah, we get this, Andrew. But I just felt like it's really important to kind of breeze through it again. By faith, we understand that the universe was founded at God's command, rhema, Hebrews 11:3. So in other words, by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's word or God's command. It's God's rhema. Did you get that? The universe was formed not by the account of God, but in the spoken word that delivered a power, an action, a command. It fulfilled the prophecy. Make sense? I'm going somewhere with this. The reason I wanted to share this is because this week I was reading about the Word of God. I was reading about Jeremiah. Real quick, I'll just give you, it's Jeremiah 42, verse 7. And it happened after 10 days that the Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I was reading this to my daughter Josie and my boys. Then he called Johanan the son of, oh, and this is what I was doing with them. I couldn't pronounce any of these. Of Korea. Korea's in there. All the captains of the forces which were with him. It goes on, it says, the word of the Lord, basically, he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the disaster that I brought upon you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him. says, "For I'm with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will show you mercy. But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, 'No, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread. There we will dwell.' Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, 'If you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and to go dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine which you were afraid of shall follow close after you, and there you shall die.'" It goes on. But I just was like, you know, here's the story. Basically, he tells, hold on. He says, he called the captain of the forces of Israel. He called them and said, "Hey, here's the word of God. If you stay in this land, it's going to go really well with you. Even though it looks really scary, it looks like Babylon is just going to absolutely destroy you. It looks really bad for you. God says, if you stay here, everything's okay. God's got you. If you go to Egypt, you are in big trouble." And they said, before Jeremiah prophesied this, they said, "Tell us what the word of the Lord is, whether it's good or it's bad, whatever it is, we will obey the word of the Lord." Guess what? I was reading this to my kids. Guess what they did? I mean, Jeremiah's telling them this over and over. He's like really nice about it. He's like, "Hey, I want you to get this. Stay in the land. I'm telling you, you know that I'm the prophet. I'm telling you, stay in this land. If you stay here, it's going to go good. If you don't, you are in big trouble. Do not do that." And they're like, "Yeah, whatever you say." Actually, they started to rise up and they were like, "You are false. You are a false prophet. You're leading us astray. This makes no sense logically. No. You are off, way off." And they disobeyed the Lord. And guess what? The very things that Jeremiah prophesied came to them. Absolute destruction. This is what caught me, okay? This is what the Lord told me to speak on this week. Because my daughter Josie goes, "Wow." It's like this moment. She goes, "Whoa." So I guess it's really important to obey the word of the Lord. And I was like, "Oh, whoa, you got it. I think I just got it." Like, whoa, really important to obey the word of the Lord. Here's what I want to say. There's a seriousness of obeying the word of the Lord. Amen? Here's the problem. If we are missing the rhema, we are also missing the word of the Lord. People think, "Well, I got the Bible and I'm reading it, and I think by principle I'm following this." And along the way, God's like, "Burning bush, here I am, here I am. Listen to me, I'm calling your name, I'm speaking to you." He shows up in a dream. "Here's the word of the Lord." He's like, "Hearken to the word." I don't know if he says hearken, but that's, you know. Or maybe he sends a prophet to you. Maybe he sends a friend to you. Maybe it's a book you're reading. And all of a sudden your spirit's laid hold of. Maybe you're in prayer and all of a sudden the Spirit of God falls in you. And the Lord begins to download something to you. The rhema is coming to you. It's this word intended to fulfill prophecy in your life. Prophecy will not be fulfilled simply by reading the Logos. Prophecy must be fulfilled by the response to the rhema word. Because faith doesn't come apart from hearing. That voice went up like that. I'm still growing up. It won't come, faith won't come apart to the rhema being heard, the rhema of Christ. Now, does that mean it's not scripture? No, the rhema can easily be scripture. Many times the rhema is scripture. Many times the word of the Lord is, I mean, think about it this way. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Satan used the written word, didn't he? With a little, I'm going to twist this. And yet the rhema came forth from Christ It was the now word. It's a good thing he didn't just move by principle according to the logos. He also knew. Does that make sense? It's a good thing that he understood that the rhema was there to create faith and power. He knew Satan's got a, he just tempted me with a word and it seems so right. Oh, but here comes the rhema word. It's the word proceeding from the mouth of God. No, you're wrong. I got a word for that. Bam. Does that make sense? It's a good thing he understood that. I want to say that the word must be contended for. The word of God must be contended for. The words that I just heard tonight, the dreams, the visions for Peoria, these things have to be contended for. I don't believe that they will come apart from someone picking them up in intercession. I had a dream one time where this is another thought real quick. I had a dream. So when my daughter said this week, she said, wow, I guess it's really important to obey the word of the Lord. I have a dream, but before I tell the dream, one time I shared this here before one time, but it's worth saying again. One time a pastor said, Andrew, I think you're off, because I was sharing a dream with him. He's like, you know, God doesn't need to share dreams anymore because we have the logos. Amen? Maybe you've heard that argument. I understand. I get how that can be scary to think of something, because we love the Word of God and we know that this is our foundation. Amen. Are we getting that? Amen. Word of God, Scripture, we base our life on that. But he was saying to me, he said, you know what? The New Testament, we don't need these dream stuff anymore. And I had a thought come to me, and I said, well, you know what? I am so thankful that Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, I'm so glad that he didn't just think that dream was just a dream, that it was actually the word of the Lord to get Jesus out of there. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, if he didn't get Jesus out of there, it would have aborted Christ. And then I thought, I wonder how many times when we disregard the way the word of the Lord comes, are we aborting fulfillment of prophecy, Christ? How many times are we aborting and delaying and hindering what God wants to do because we're not picking up that word by faith and getting out of Dodge when he says, get out of Dodge? Or maybe he's saying, pick up this word and pray. If you don't pray right now, something's not going to shift now. I'm going to tell you, I believe we are coming into urgent days of intercession. And I'm saying, Peoria, we can't operate as we've operated before. The wineskin has to change. Not that the old wineskin is necessarily bad. It's just God saying, I want a wineskin where my people are so ready to respond to the word of the Lord that I can trust them with something so weighty and heavy. I'm going somewhere with it. I'll tell you this. I had a dream. Here was the dream I was going to share. I had a dream. This is a few years ago. I was in a season of Kelly and I. We were kind of a little bit prayerless in that season. Anybody ever gone through a season of prayerlessness? Anybody ever gone through a long season of prayerlessness? I was in a long season of prayerlessness. Just for whatever reason, just discouragement or... You ever feel like, well, I guess my future's over, or I guess this isn't for me. I don't know. You're all like, we need to pray for Andrew. But no, it was a rough season, so I didn't pray a lot. Kelly and I, we just kind of, I don't know what we were doing, just living. But a dream came to me one night. And in the dream, Kelly and I both knew that we had to eat snakes. And in the dream, that's a really gross, vivid picture, but we had to eat snakes. And I knew that these snakes, we had to eat them because it was satanic attack. And this satanic attack, I knew that it had been given place in our lives somehow. And in the dream, I was really disgusted and afraid that I had to eat this. But I had to eat it. And in the dream, I'm on the bed. And I look at Kelly in the dream after we're eating the snakes. And I said, because of prayerlessness, the enemy has been allowed to attack us. See, God didn't will that to happen. It's not his will to bring harm. But somehow, the enemy had found a place through our prayerlessness to attack. It was a warning dream. Amen? Do you know God will warn you in advance so that you can take up the call to intercede and say, I'm going to break that thing because no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. You know, no, this thing's not going to stand. However, I didn't respond that way. I might have been a little bit like these dudes after they heard Jeremiah's word and were like, it's just a dream. It's just a word, just a warning. After I wake up that morning from the dream, I drive to Best Buy in Bloomington, pull into the parking spot, and my mom is parked right in the spot right next to me. I thought, well, that's interesting. Hi, Mom. She lives in Hudson. I'm in Bloomington. Didn't know we were going to meet there. And I pull in and look over, and my mom's there. She comes over to me, said, Andrew, is everything okay? I said, well, yeah, why? Again, I had just woken up from the snake eating dream. I didn't tell her that. She said, well, I just had a dream that all around the foundation of your house were these massive snakes trying to break through your house and attack you. I'm thinking, oh my Jesus. I said, you don't know what you're saying right now. I said, I just had this dream. Here's the dangerous thing. When God's given you that level of confirmation, he's serious, right? It doesn't mean he wants us to be afraid or tormented. It means he's saying, son, this level of confirmation like this is for you to pay attention. I was not paying attention. And I left that day, and I still was a little passive. Can I just tell you, I have been passive at times to the word of the Lord. I was passive with it. I got in a car, Kelly and I left Best Buy, and I'm turning in an intersection, and all of a sudden, I don't know why I paused, but I was like, I don't have a good sense about this as I'm going into this intersection. And so I just waited. And the car in front of me kept going, and it just, I mean, there was a car on Veterans Parkway going like 55 miles an hour and just T-boned the guy. Boom! And had I gone and followed that guy, I would have been in the wreck with him. I'm thinking, oh, man. All right, Lord. Slowly my antenna is coming up. However, I still disobeyed the word of the Lord. And I didn't directly go to the place of prayer. Remember, the dream was because of prayerlessness. So within the same week, I get a phone call. I'm out to eat with a guy. I get a phone call. And it's the fire department. And the fire department says, hey, you need to come to the hospital. Your whole family's in the hospital. They were involved in a head-on collision. But they're okay. So come. And I'm at this point, I'm like, that's it. I'm awake now. Devil? Anyway, so I go to the hospital, and Kelly and the kids are there. They're scraped up and bruised. Nothing terrible. Kelly had a broken, fractured feet. Well, eventually, started as one fractured foot, then she fell, became two fractured feet. sorry, we can laugh about it now. She had to roll around on the house with like a... Anyway, can I just say, to me, that was a warning word that I had to learn from the Lord saying, Andrew, you can't play at this level. You cannot play with the calling that's on the house of prayer. The calling that's on me, the calling that's on Kelly, the calling that's on you. God's saying, it's too serious in these days. It is too sober. The call, we've got to enter in with, we have to know how to deal with the word of the Lord soberly and seriously. And I don't say that to be afraid. I'm just saying, what could happen if we miss what God is saying? God's so faithful. He might say it another five ways that we missed it the first time. But are we Have we become passive to the word of the Lord? That's what I want to say. Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Do you guys know that the promised land, y'all know that like the Bible talks about types and shadows. Y'all know that many things in the Old Testament were types and shadows of Christ. The promised land, it could probably refer to many things, maybe heaven. But even in Hebrews, we see that there was a entering into a rest of the Lord. And I think that many would say, scholars would say that the promised land actually is a pictorial, maybe one of the clearest pictures of our entry into Christ, of a promised land filled with, you know, honey and milk and fruitfulness. And also, as we step into that place, the enemy does not want us to occupy our place in Christ. Does that make sense? How are we doing? Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Do you guys know that that verse, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Do you know that a lot of times there was, in the Hebrew, there was a lot of like parallel or symbolism or metaphor. I don't even know the words I'm using. Metaphor. Metaphorical, maybe that's what I'm trying to say. So the sole of the foot, actually, they would relate it oftentimes in the Hebrew culture to the heart. Sole of the foot would also represent the heart because it was a hollow place. It was a place of where you move forward, where you step. It was a connection, the sole of the foot to the heart. So when that scripture came, every place the sole of your foot will tread, that actually means, I believe it meant both literally your foot, but also I believe it means every place where you, the word tread means to apply or aim your strength. Everywhere you aim the strength of your heart, everywhere you step with your heart, every place that you give the strength and you stand in your heart in this place of Christ, in the promise that you have entered into, that's your land. That's your promise. Why am I saying that? Because I believe that that promised land is the word of God. The word of the Lord. I believe when the word of the Lord comes to Peoria, Illinois, about 24/7, it is not okay any longer to hang that up on a wall and say, look what God said. No, we have to begin to say, no, this thing has been declared. This thing has been prophesied. And we have to begin to set our heart and begin to set our faith. This is our prophetic inheritance. There is a generation waiting on what springs out of Peoria. And it's going to be in response. It's going to be activated as the 24-hour house of prayer rises out of Peoria, Illinois. Amen. So it's good to have prayer meetings. But now I believe God's saying, we got to shift the wineskin because the word of the Lord has been sounded. And it's not okay just to have prayer sets anymore about anything. We have to begin, don't get me wrong, we need to have prayer sets about anything. But we also, I feel like God's saying, we have to now begin to move into a place of great contending for the prophecy. Which means we have to deal with those of us who come here and are disconnected with what the word of the Lord is over this place. Which means we have to deal with where we're passive to the prophetic word of the Lord. Because I think God's going to do an amazing work. I had a dream recently I shared with Derek that I saw a massive amount of youth in this place. And I remember saying something like, maybe you remember it better now than I do. But I remember basically saying these people actually were volunteering to begin to hold the night watch all through the night. And it was like, and probably it will be a lot of youth. But see, I think that word goes forth. we don't rest on it. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it can be discouraging when you get a prophetic word and you don't see the outbreak of it in a moment. Or you don't see it in the next week, possibly the next year. Can I just say, I want to prophesy. Here's what I believe has just happened in Illinois and in Peoria, Illinois. I believe, I'll tell you this. Had a woman come into our prayer meeting. She came in at the very beginning of the year. Actually, I don't know, maybe it was in February. Maybe it was March. I can't remember now. But she walked in, and this is actually really exciting. This is going to get you guys fired up because it gets me fired up. She walks into our prayer meeting, and I thought, oh, strange lady. Don't judge with our eyes. The Bible says, don't judge by mere appearances. Judge with righteous judgment. The Lord, I didn't know it at the time, had sent a prophet in my midst. And she goes, well, I said, after our prayer meeting, I said, anybody have anything to share? Well, all I know is everything just shifted this year. She said, all I've been hearing is winds, 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 winds. And she's saying this. She goes, there's a unique sound to these winds. And I'm like, I've not heard any winds. What are you talking about? I'm like, you mean you were outside and you heard winds? She said, I was in the spirit. Heard winds. Okay. Well, she goes on to prophesy a number of things that were very accurate. About 3 weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in Springfield, Illinois, and Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce had come. Did anybody go to that in here? I don't know if anybody. Well, Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce hadn't been here for years. Well, before I get to that, can I say something? Well, how long we got here? All right. Look. All right. Let me say this. I've been doing a house of prayer. I've been trying to do a house of prayer in Bloomington, Illinois. And it seems like we would just come up against resistance for the past 3 years. Boom! Ah! Well, in fact, let me tell you what happened. 3 years ago, me and a buddy, we came and we were just so fired up in intercession. We came into the house of prayer. We wrote down Bloomington. We offered it up to Jesus. We said, Bloomington belongs to Jesus! And we're interceding like crazy. This city is yours. We plant our feet now. This city belongs to Jesus. And, you know, we're interceding. Well, that night, my friend Gabe, who was praying with me that night, he had a dream. In the dream, he said a woman came to him. And she was just grotesque and vile and evil. And she came on him and started to choke him in the dream and said, stop praying. And then she said, this city belongs to me. And she, I don't like those dreams. But he goes, what's your name? She said her name. It was a different language or word. And at the time, we remembered it and we looked it up. We can't find where we wrote the word down. But we knew after we looked up the word, it actually meant and had to do with Jezebel. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Not whoop-de-doo, but, you know, like, oh. So, then, you know, we would make headway, and then we'd get hit, and then half of our people would be taken out, and then we'd go make headway again, and just boom, 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 like this battle going on. Well, last spring, I have a dream, and in the dream, a woman, I don't see her face, I don't know who she is. In the dream, she comes up to me and says, would you like deliverance? And in real life, I didn't know I needed deliverance. In the dream, I said, sure. So she prays for me. And in the dream, I'm just like, ah! That's what I'm doing in the dream. She said, good job. Keep going. And I'm like, ah! And she said, all right, that's it. That's all you needed. And in the dream, again, I can't see her face. I don't know if she's white, black. I don't know who she is. She says, do you want to know what you got delivered of? I said, yeah. She said it was a territorial spirit. I never heard of such a thing. I mean, I knew there was territorial spirits, but I needed deliverance from a territorial spirit? What does that mean? And, you know, I woke up from the dream and I'm like, what do I do with that? You know, at the time, I just felt like God was saying, well, some of the warfare you've been coming up against, where you have just continually felt like you can't make headway, you can't get breakthrough, is because you've been under the oppression of a territorial spirit. You've been under the... And then we had a prophetic lady in the midst who the Lord showed her that some of the strength of this spirit was three generations deep, which I don't even know what that means. But God starts teaching us and talking to us about, hey, there's stuff here in the spirit that's keeping you from moving forward. Amen? So, now fast forward a year later after that dream, this strange woman I said that came into our house, one of the things she asked me, said, Andrew, do you know who I am yet? I said, well, I know you're a prophet. And she said, well, I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to see if the Lord shows you. So the next week comes by and she shows up again. She goes, do you know who I am yet? And I said, you've been assigned to me. I know that. She said, that's right. Do you know why I've been assigned? Nope. So I wait another week. I didn't get the answer. I couldn't figure it out. She came to me. She goes, you know what? I'll just tell you. She said, I've been assigned to you. I'd never told her. Listen, I've never told her about the dream that I needed to be delivered of the territorial spirit. She goes, I've been assigned to help deliver you from the territorial spirit you've been under. Well, help me out, lady. What's that mean? Help me out. But honestly, the whole way, she has begun to show me witchcraft at work that's been against, which is interesting. I got to tell you this. I'm saying this for a reason, okay? In December, are you guys tracking with me? In December, I was driving. I probably have shared these stories here, and I'm sorry if I'm just beating the drum again, but I was driving, and I heard the Lord say, Andrew, you've been in delay. In the dream, it was a house of prayer that I saw in Peoria. No, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. This is your dream, not my dream. I'm driving in real life. I'm driving. Andrew, you've been in delay. Your destiny's been in delay. There's been something hindering you. And I thought, wait a second. Is this you, God? I think I just heard you. And I felt like, I said, oh my goodness, I've never actually thought that I could possibly be in delay. It's kind of a sober word. I've been in delay? I'm not on time where I need to be? Wait, what? That kind of makes you mad when you hear that. You're like, wait a second. I'm right where I need to be. I'm doing this. When you hear the Lord say, you have been delayed, I don't know. That just makes me bothered. Who's delaying me? What's going on? So I said, Lord, you're going to have to tell me. You're going to have to tell me if this is you. And if it's you, I need the key to break the delay. Within 5 minutes, kid you not, I'd never talked to Kelly. We'd never had this conversation about delay. She calls me and says, hey, Andrew, I forgot to tell you a dream I had last night. In the dream, I was in a prayer room in Peoria, and you and I were there, and there was this woman in there, real evil looking in her eyes, and she looked at me, and Kelly said, and I knew she was a witch, and this woman came up to us and said, I'm the reason that you've been in delay. That's an interesting dream. In the dream, Kelly knew she needed to drive this woman out. Get her gone. So I wake up and I knew the Lord was, no, she woke up. No, I was driving. That's where I was. When she told me that, I knew that this thing was real. I knew there was delay. So I want to tell you what I've begun to do. I've begun to say, God, everything that has delayed our life, and not just because it's about us, but because our life is about your call and your glory and everything that you have us to do that's a part to help the whole body, everything that has kept us in delay, I need this broke now. And I need I begin to cry out to him, God, whatever it takes to align me with where I need to be in my destiny, I need it now, God. I need it now. Align me with where I need to be in my destiny. Redeem the time right now. And I'll just tell you that it's been a whirlwind from that point on. Good, bad, and ugly, and more good. But the word of the Lord has begun to come afresh. He's like, are you willing to go with it the moment I'm telling you this? Are you willing to run with it? Because as you take my word and you are not passive with this word, it will begin to redeem time and accelerate you into the alignment with your destiny. Amen. Here's what I want to say. It's time to break the delay off of Peoria, Illinois, Central Illinois. So back to Springfield, Illinois. We were at a conference with Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce. So my prophet lady friend, she came with us. And remember that she's the one that said, wins, 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 wins. Well, here's what Chuck and Dutch both prophesied. They said, we have not been here since, I think maybe, I could be wrong. I think they said 2004. They said, we haven't been here because the Lord has not brought us here. And if you know Chuck and Dutch, they're going to move with the word of the Lord. They came into Springfield, Illinois, and they said, here is what has just transpired, and we are here to announce it. The winds have come into Illinois. The winds have come into Illinois, and within the next year, was it the next year? Year and a half. I think it was the next year to 2 years, everything would begin to shift. Everything would begin to shift. And they said it would begin to really, things within a year will begin to really begin to make waves and shift in Chicago, Illinois. But here's the interesting thing I want to say. They said, and Chuck Pierce pulled down this map of Illinois. And he had Peoria, Illinois. And he had Bloomington, Illinois. He had Champaign and Springfield. And he had all these areas, Chicago. And over Peoria, Illinois was this big throne. And there was this big throne over Champaign. And I'm pretty sure he missed it because he didn't have a throne over Bloomington. But the throne, let me just say what he called the throne. It was a throne of iniquity. He said the reason that the church has not seen a move of God throughout the state, in these cities specifically, the thrones of iniquity have been stronger than the things that God has been doing through his people. He said, but the winds have now begun to move the thrones of iniquity out of their place. And we are now entering into a season where prophecy, where things that have been held up are going to suddenly begin to break forth. And I believe that Peoria is about to have a massive shift if the church picks up the word of the Lord, breaks our passivity with the word of the Lord, because this thing's going 24/7. This thing is going to begin to draw the youth. Prayer is going to become contagious. And the youth are going to start to burn like they've never burned in Peoria, Illinois. And they're going to volunteer freely in the day of the power, in the day of thy power. They will volunteer freely. They will volunteer freely. We want to run and burn through the night. We want to hold this altar open through the night seasons. The night watch will rise in Peoria, Illinois. And I believe that revival will begin to spread in Central Illinois. I had dreams and I didn't even know why. 2 and 3, actually, no, maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago, I had dreams of Peoria, Illinois. And I saw massive revival hit Riverside Church. And I saw people lined up outside of that building all the way coming from the, I don't know where the ghettos are, but I saw like the ghettos emptied out, lining up into the church. Then I saw Northwoods, and I saw massive revival hit Northwoods. This was a separate dream. I didn't even know why I was having these dreams because I never wasn't praying for Peoria at the time. See, God God was is he'll seed something for a while. He'll just, I'm going to throw this out here. I just want to say in the spirit, Peoria is destined for revival. Peoria has a destination. There is a due time that is coming for revival in Peoria, Illinois. And it is harvest. It is harvest. And it's going to come. There's going to be a new wind of unity. And I believe that 24/7 is coming sooner than we have thought. I believe God says, pick your head up, Derek. Pick your head up, Derek. Your toil and your labor has not been in vain. You don't even know what you have done in this city, in this region. You've held the lamp of the Lord. You've held the torch of the Lord. You've kept the fire on the altar burning. God says, you don't know what's about to come forth. But suddenlies are coming in this year. In this year, suddenlies are coming. God, thank you. So I guess I'll just finish and say, I don't have anything else on that page, so I guess maybe I'm done. But no, here's the thing I want to say is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. I'll tell you this. I'll share it, and I won't share specifics. I almost rejected the word of the Lord that came to me recently because it didn't make sense to my mind. I had a dream, and in the dream, I said, everything I'm doing right now, I'm no longer supposed to be doing. This came out of my mouth. I'm prophesying it. Everything I'm doing now, I'm not supposed to be doing anymore. I'm supposed to be doing this. But I woke up from that dream, and I thought, well, that's not the word of the Lord. Because that doesn't make sense to me. Within a week, I'm in a prayer meeting, and a man comes up to me and, kid you not, says this very phrase. Hey, I have a prophecy for you. The Lord says, everything you're doing now, you're not going to be doing it any longer. You're going to be doing this. I'm like, oh, that was the Lord. I kid you not, these things have, I got to tell you this. I've been driving on our street, Oakland Avenue in Bloomington, and there's a church on a corner, and I saw some ladies washing windows out there, and I pull up by them. No, I didn't pull up by them. I waved at them. Then they said, pull up. So I pulled in. One of the ladies, I haven't seen this lady in a long time. She has no idea what's going on in my life. Essentially, she says this. She goes, she said something, but I'll give it away. I'll give everything away if I say what she says. But she said this. She said, you're not going to be doing what you're doing any longer. You're going to be doing this. She said it in a different phrasing, but it was that. I can't tell you. God's shouting. When the word of the Lord comes, he'll confirm it with two or three witnesses. Amen. We don't have to wonder, and we don't have to freak out as soon as we get a dream. We got to make this happen. We need to start to pray into it. We need to start to take it before the Lord. I believe if God, here's what I say. Faith with little, he'll entrust you with more. He who has, more will be given. If you say, oh, wow, I've got this word, and you start to pray it into the Lord, God will say, okay, I'm going to add to that. I'm going to add to that. And I'm going to start to confirm that now. And now, because you're really locked on to the word of the Lord, this thing can move into the now. This thing can start to be apprehended and manifested. Where before, you just hung it on the wall as, well, that was a nice prophecy and a nice dream. God's saying, are you ready to take the word of the Lord serious? Are you ready to pick this thing up in intercession? Carry it. Amen. I'm done. I did have a word for you, Nancy. I did. This probably just goes without saying, but I really felt I just felt like the Lord said you felt like the Lord told me earlier on the drive over here, I saw your face really big over the horizon. And But like Lord said, you've been a faithful watchman. Faithful watchman. Faithful intercessor. I believe this goes without saying. I mean, you know that the Lord has spoken this to you. You know the Lord has told you this. You've been a faithful watchman. And as I saw that, as I was driving and I saw that, I'd never heard this before, but I heard the Lord say three P's. And I was like, what is that? And I felt like God says, it's what I'm going to bring Peoria into. Praise, presence, Peoria. So what does that mean? And I just felt like he said, Peoria will begin to be known for its praise and its presence. It's going to be synonymous with Peoria. Praise and presence will be synonymous with Peoria. Praise and presence will be synonymous with Peoria. And I got that when I saw you, and I felt like there's been something that you've carried, even if it's just been you at times, even if it's just been a few. It's been praise, it's been presence. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted you to know that. And I know you're not the only one, the intercessor in this area, but I believe the Lord really, the Bible says to give honor to where honor is due. Amen. It's important to recognize those who have been faithful, who've carried a torch, who've been faithful watchmen, because sometimes we need to recognize them because you will need to pray for them. I believe, Nancy, your job's not done. Your job is not done. There's something that's coming. Anyway, you want to get on the guitar, bro? I'm not real sure. I thought about, why don't we just move into a time of intercession? Are we okay with that? Originally, I thought that I was going to come and probably do more of like a personal revival, like fire up thing. But I really felt like the Lord wanted us to really depart from all of any sort of passivity where it concerns the word of the Lord over the house of prayer and the word of the Lord over Peoria. And I felt like we were supposed to ram this thing, to lay siege to the Lord and to heaven. And say, God, bring it forth. What if tonight something gets set in motion? What if all of a sudden 50 youth have dreams that they're to come give themselves to the house of prayer? These are the types of things that will happen. I just declare that. Lord, I thank you. I declare that now. We declare that now, that Father, dreams tonight. We pray tonight. Now, faith is. We lay hold of the word that has come for Peoria, Illinois. We lay hold of the word that has come for the house of prayer. That 24/7, night and day prayer are coming. That God, revival is coming to the body of Christ. Revival is going to touch the streets, into the ghettos, into the broken areas, into the families. God, we thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to begin to loose your prophetic call, your prophetic dreams. Call your sons and daughters into the house of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to be a little less formal and just all circle up here. If that's okay, Derek. Have you? Awesome. You know what else the Lord told me, Derek? He said that as individuals give themselves to carrying the mandate of the house of prayer, he said it will actually accelerate them and increase them in their individual calling in life. As the house of prayer goes forward, the individual callings and assignments will go forward as well. They'll accelerate. God, I thank you that you are going to begin to accelerate the house of prayer. You are going to begin to move in the house of prayer like never before. Let's just pray in the Spirit right now. Let's just ask the Spirit to move and to begin to cause a stirring, a prayer. Breathe and breathe and prophesy tonight. Breathe and prophesy. Let's just keep praying in the Spirit for a moment. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody's got a, maybe we'll go back and forth for a few moments and we'll just intercede, but maybe we'll just make prophetic declarations and decrees as well. We'll petition and then we'll begin to declare whatever, however the Spirit moves tonight. I feel maybe a combination. We ask of the Father and then we begin to decree and prophesy as well. Father, we ask right now, break passivity from our hearts right now. God, where we have disappointment, where we have unmet expectations, where we become weary in doing good, Lord, where we become worn out, battle weary, God, where we become worn out trying to hold our hands up, Lord, we just ask right now that you would begin to break through in Jesus' name. Begin to break through, God. All passivity tonight, break through, God. Begin to awaken the word of the Lord in our hearts again. Oh, God. Awaken the word of the Lord in our hearts, Jesus. Stir it up, God. Bring dreams back to mind. Bring your word back to our hearts, God. Quicken your word to our mind. Quicken your word by the Spirit of God. Oh, God. God says it's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's new. It's new. It's new. The winds have come. The winds are coming. God, we decree a shift for Peoria, Illinois. We decree a shift over Peoria, Illinois. God, we thank you, Lord, that there is coming a shift to the house of prayer. That there is coming a shift. That youth, young and old alike, but many young ones, many high school, college age, young adult, we thank you. The youth are coming into the house of prayer. We thank you. They are coming in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.